Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Robert Tintoroff. He's been leading a lot of companies for many years, sometimes as a director, a CEO, a co-founder, or chairman. Today, he is founder and CEO of Price Agent, which is making pricing insights available to everyone. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Awesome. So why don't we start off by talking about, to understand pricing insights and the gravity of that, let's take a step back and understand the problem that we are solving.
Yeah. So the reason why we started this company was to try to do something to people who wanted to improve their price setting processes. And going back to my own experience in running other companies, sometimes I felt that I was losing a deal based on many reasons, and I couldn't figure out, was it the price or was it other items? Or sometimes when you want a deal, you felt maybe I could have charged more and still got a deal. So all of that made me curious about pricing as a theme. And then we thought maybe we can do something about it. Maybe we can start understanding how pricing can affect your profitability, your growth, your happiness of your clients, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we do. So we're trying to understand how pricing affects purchase decisions.
Okay, so this is such a huge issue, right? Because anyone in consulting, we've all had this. So you're working on something and then you don't win the deal. And so was I charging too much? I was trying to make it low enough, but was it still too much? I don't know, right? And then there's times where you win and you're like, okay, they agreed pretty quickly. Could I have charged more on that?
I'm with you. That's exactly my background as well. So we took this idea and then we tried to use modern technology, software, availability of our future clients, and then we developed the methodology. So we packaged it as a service and we launched it into the market and we said, okay, let's see if we can help you price correct, you know, to get the right price for your offering to close and win more deals.
Okay, I was told a long time ago, I was at a UX talk, and they said anecdotally, I want to see how much you agree or disagree with this. They said, you have the right price when the prospect groans about the price three times, but then agrees to it. Is there any truth to that?
I don't know. Normally, I haven't seen that so much myself, but what we do is that we identify the specific price point, if you want, where people start considering alternatives or considering not to buy or walking away or et cetera. And we want to give that opportunity to any business, any small company, any small business should be able to make smarter pricing decisions on their own so they can make more profit and deliver more value to their clients.
Okay, so let's talk about what this applies to. There's the landscape of people who offer services, human beings conducting things, and you've got to have hours involved, versus products that are digital and it's really fairly arbitrary and you have to compare yourself to the marketplace. So across the landscape of everything that's just charged money, what does this apply to? And is there anything that it doesn't apply to?
So we do both products and services as we define it. And it could be consumer goods or it could be business items. It does apply to almost any company that has something to offer to some audience and they want to deliver something. It could be streaming services like music streaming or whatever. It could be running shoes, could be consumables, anything like that. It can also be online business-to-business services like for et cetera, et cetera. So we developed a methodology so we can identify the price that people would start looking for other options. And also you can include your competitors. What would people be willing to pay for my competing products or competing brands? And how do I stand towards those? You can go as low as down to product features or sales channels, sales outlets for retail, D2C versus Amazon, Should I charge differently? Is the audience more willing to pay from one channel through another channel? All of that is done on future behavioral economics, so to speak, rather than old statistics or transactional data that has already happened in the past, right?
That's the next question I was going to ask is, what type of expertise does this involve from you and your team?
So we've developed an algorithm and a platform and creating a do-it-yourself setup. So you sign up for an account, you say, you describe your product and say, I want to price this towards this market and audience. And we then translate that into a survey approach. And we are connected to 300 plus million consumers out there in the world. And we send invites and they take the interview and it feeds back to our process. And then we identify willingness to pay or values that people are really asking for. And then we convert that into pricing recommendations automatically. So you as a user doesn't really need to know anything about this technology. So we're saying that we're taking pricing intelligence and giving that to any company rather than just having the big four pricing consultants spending hundreds and thousands of dollars to get some insights. We would give this opportunity to any company that wish to improve on their pricing.
Really? Okay. So the way people get started with this is they log into your platform or they go to your platform and they answer some series of questions.
Yeah.
And your platform is able to compute that and give outputs on what their price ought to be. And is this kind of like price point, price range? Does it take into, okay.
So it's both actually. We're having the full scale from zero to zero, so to speak. And we can identify the price point that will generate the highest demand, so unit volumes, and also the price that will generate the highest dollar revenue rather than unit demands. So if you want to grow your market share, you might want to be on a price point where you close more deals. Or if you want to raise your profitability, you want to charge more per sell. So we will identify all of those within this tool.
Interesting. So it takes strategy into account. So if I say, hey, I'm thinking that for my business, it makes more sense to do a volume play and I want to get as many folks as possible. And I don't need the margin to be huge on every transaction. Correct. Versus I could say, hey, this is maybe not that frequent and I need each one to be delivering a lot. So the user has an opportunity to input what's important to them. Is that how Correct. That works?
The way it works is a little bit the other way around. You describe your product and we identify the target audience and the market segment that are willing to pay the most or the volume that the price that will generate highest market share or volume. So let me take you an example from just this summer, actually. If you're a golfer, you're playing golf, sometimes you lose a lot of balls, right? And you need to buy new balls. And how much you want to pay for a dozen golf balls, right? And that depends on your skill, your frequency, how often you play, what type of course you're playing on, maybe your handicap level, your income, your age, and also the brand or the bottle. So you just pour that all into that platform and say, hey, how can I optimize the pricing for this set of golf balls to this audience? And our tool will then go out, get the data they need, and then sort that into brand power, player personality, type of players, features that are important to each of those players, and give you a pricing recommendation towards different target audience, different channels.
Is this a crowded space? Do you have competitors trying to offer the same thing? And if so, what is your differentiator?
Yeah. So I would say that when we started back in almost 8 years now, people didn't really understand what we were talking about. They said, you can't do those things and that's impossible. And today, still the market is very uneducated in this. More and more people are picking this up. And we tend to be very alone in the space on this do-it-yourself service approach. You could phone one of the big guys and get a strategy document, high ticket price, 6 month consultancy on top of that, and then you will have some pricing or recommendations. The problem with that is that it's going to be too slow because what people are saying today doesn't really reflect the future or maybe in 6 months time. You need to be fast. So we developed three things: precision, speed, and do it yourself. That's the idea. So you can go in, just field test an approach on a new product or a new brand or a new feature in a day or two And then you will have instant feedback, instant reporting back from the target audience that you're looking to. It could be a country, a market segment, or anyone you want. And you will have the data and the recommendation back within 24 hours. That hasn't been done before.
In your space, how important do you think it is for your product or platform to have a seamless user experience? There's areas of the marketplace where tools absolutely have to have that in order to succeed versus mm-hmm. the other extreme would be like a headless software. It's the technology is the part that shines for you and you guys. I'm just curious as to how much importance.
I understand what you mean. You're on a very important thing here because we have managed services, of course, like our guys setting it up, doing the survey, running the insights. We want to move towards the do-it-yourself service, which requires a lot more seamless, So it should be 100%. It is automatic. You don't need to call us. You don't need to talk to us. You could be able to set it up, run it, get results, and execute on it. But the user interface, of course, has to play on par with that approach. So that's some growth areas that we're looking into to explain to customers, to get them easier onboarded, monitor usage, usability, et cetera, et cetera. That's very important for the future.
You guys, you mentioned that you guys have been around for 8 years, and within that time, we've had this AI revolution kick off. How much do you guys leverage AI? And I know everyone is supposed to say that they are. And the competitors, I imagine, that might be more because everyone now thinks everything is possible. So people have gotten into spaces where they didn't.
I'm glad you brought it up. AI, we're using AI where we think it makes sense for our users. So there are specific parts of our software that requires speed and intelligence where AI can help. And that could be to generate and create the questionnaire, the survey itself. That's where we're using AI. So you don't have to be a server creator. You don't have to use other survey platform software. You're just describing your product and our tool, you know, supported by AI or based on AI, generates the survey. The second, and then we do like traditional API outreach to respondents and we collect the data and we analyze it within our algorithm. At the final step, with the insights, recommendations, of course, our tool is using partially AI. So it can explain the data in a more executive way or in a way where you can really go out and engage and change your pricing based on our recommendations. So we use AI where it's needed, so to speak.
Yeah, this is a side question on the recommendations that you brought up. I'm finding that it seems like more and more that recommendations is a demanded feature or a really mm-hmm. appreciated feature beyond mm-hmm. just showing the BI or the information. People are seeming to really want that. Is that what you're finding with your client base?
What we see with our clients is, I mean, they want to be told that they read the data correctly, right? Like a consultancy approach. And that's where we're working on adding more intelligence into the delivery. So we make ourselves not useful still, but not really needed. And we see our clients, when they run their first survey, the first approach, they need us a lot. Then when they do a rerun or a second country or second product, they go off and run it on their own. But again, the AI revolution today gives us a lot of opportunities to create and generate a lot of interesting insights. Like often the CEO of the company want to have an executive summary and he just want to have the price walls and price optimization tools. And then you have the product manager or the marketing guy. They want to have features we should talk about in certain segments, channel distribution, and then that's details. And then for that purpose, you might want to have more insights and more intelligence for those specific tasks in a company.
In terms of someone using your product continuously versus getting the first answer, tell us about the kind of nature of the business that fits this. So in other words, if I use Price Agent and I say, hey, what price should I charge for these things? This is what I make. This is what I sell. And then I get my answer. Then mm-hmm. I don't use it continuously versus another type of business maybe needs to be a long-term subscribing member. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So we think that pricing in the old days, you set prices once a year or maybe twice a year. Those days are gone. And depending on, you can see the uncertainty out there. I don't even need to mention the tariffs to be relevant here. But many of our clients are coming back to say, hey, we need to raise prices because of costs or tariffs or uncertainty. we want to know and investigate how much can we push into our end users and how much do we want to eat ourselves. And we can define where those those thresholds sit on your current product or new products. So people run surveys more and more often because of the changes out there. You can't be static like a price list as we used in the old days. It's not real time, but some of our clients are updating this, their pricing. They're using, engaging with price agent on a regular basis. And we also have people who want to have a continuous monitoring, if you like, price optimization monitoring feature. So you say, let's collect a couple of data points annually, but we want to update with each week or each month. And then we just go in and see the differences, how it changes. And that's also relevant. Sometimes people, you get the new competitors, you lose a competitor, you launch a new product versus the old product. How will all of these affect each other? So that's what we see more and more. That's the trend here.
Yeah, so it's so true that now that I think of it, that you brought it up, the uncertainty of the world, right? So mm-hmm. You have the regular normal market uncertainty that just happens normally with the supply chains and different things happen, seasons. Yeah. But then if you layer on top of that, wars, situations where ports and canals get blocked off because there's geopolitical conflict and tariffs and the uncertainty with that causing so much fluctuation. Having a product like that, somehow actively thinking about this stuff without you hiring giant teams to figure it out for you, that seems like it would be very useful.
Yeah, that's what we see. And every on the tariffs aspect here today, what we've seen during the spring was that people had good stock. They already had stocked their warehouses, their shopping. Now they sold that out. They need to restock. And that makes a huge problem because they need to, you know, reinvest, import from any country, whatever country it might be. And there's going to be a completely different cost base. So the people need to reset their pricing or adjust their pricing. And they want to see, where do I have my customers? I mean, what's the loyalty with my customers? When, at which price raise will they move and look into other vendors or stop buying products? So there's been a lot of talk, especially here in Europe and also in the US, of course, on the tariffs. But my suggestion here is that it's going to happen this autumn because people need to look into restocking and they need to repurchase from whenever, either they bring the manufacturing back home and at a much higher cost, or they need to import and then get charged a lot of tariffs, so they need to change the price. So I would say half of our customers today are in this tariff war, if you like, and are asking for help. They want to see and test their product, the pricing power, actually, towards price lifts.
Do you, you're not a economics news pundit, or I don't want to ask you questions like that, but for the audience and for myself, do you have any loose projections on how many months out we might be from surprisingly big changes in the marketplace, or is that just up in the air and you don't know?
Personally, I have my ideas. I don't know really, but what we hear from our clients is that they kind of been hesitating for a while, but then now they need to act. And I would say that we see some of European companies deciding to leave certain markets due to tariffs because they can't make it anymore. So they might be in operational, if you like, in one country for 20 years maybe, and now they can move out because they can't justify the price increase because of the manufacturing country. And this is not one company we've seen this from. We've seen it from many companies just last couple of weeks. And we also see that sometimes that if you want to bring the manufacturing home to your home country at a different production cost level, we still haven't seen that people are agreeing on paying a lot more, a ton more because of the manufacturing country. It's easy to say, but we don't see that in the results. So people stop buying.
And then could you give us an idea of what the interaction of your product is like? I have, as a product designer myself, an idea in my head of what it could be you maybe get some answers, but I can imagine a dashboard for the complex scenarios where I see, here's my products that I've loaded in and there's the prices. Yeah. So what is the basic kind of high level interaction like?
So you, like I said, you say, I want to test, I want to launch a new product. I sign up my account, I create a survey or a study. I describe it with a couple of language words, potentially adding an image if I want, and then I hit AI, create survey for me, and it creates a survey with 10 or so questions that's gonna supposed to be sent out to the audience. You select the target audience, country, segment, whatever, hit launch, and it starts collecting the data. Then it starts returning the data, and the presentation layer is based on graphs. So it's, we have like demand graphs and value and revenue graphs. And then we have something we call price walls and price plateaus. So a price wall is very important here, because a price wall is a price point where a small change in price gives a dramatic difference in result. So in demand or revenue. So you need to know where these price walls sit for your product offering, and then put your pricing related to that. And on the other axis, you have the price plateau, which is actually the same demand on the whole plateau, regardless if it's $5 or $7 or $8. Then you just need to decide, am I going to push towards the wall, or am I going to be playing safe in the middle? And this is the graphical layout.
This sounds wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Robert Tinteroff of Price Agent. How can folks go ahead and get started? What is the exact website? Let's make sure we have that.
So it's priceagent.com.
Priceagent.com.
Yeah.
Excellent. And they just get started like you described. And it's all the technology that they're interacting with. Excellent stuff. This is very informative, and I'm very excited to see where Price Agent continues to grow in the future.
Thank you very much.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us today.
Very well. Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.